us and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Biden has asked Congress for nearly $100 billion in emergency aid after two hurricanes and other natural disasters. House Speaker Mike Johnson says he's on board.
We'll go to work, of course, evaluating that, and we're going to make sure we deliver for the hurricane victims.
New York State's MTA has voted to charge people just for driving in Manhattan.
Motion carries. We've adopted the resolution.
Manhattan drivers will pay an extra $9 in what's called congestion pricing. New York wants to discourage drivers from bringing their own vehicles into the city. It hopes this will convince them to use mass transit instead. Some 80 million Americans will travel 50 or more miles from home for the Thanksgiving holiday. About 72 million will drive. Some advice from AAA's Aixa Diaz.
Tuesday afternoon is going to be very congested, as well as Wednesday afternoon as well. If you're leaving on those 2 days, try to hit the road as early as possible.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
4 WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Before you head out to the woods, be sure you're checking your stand for safety. Tree stands are the leading cause of hunting-related injuries and deaths in the U.S. Statistics show that about 1 in 3 hunters risk falling and facing serious injury. This is higher for archery hunters at 28% and firearm hunters around 13% of falling or nearly falling. You should inspect your equipment thoroughly before you plan to start hunting. Use a lifeline every time you climb. You should wear a full-body harness at all times. Always follow the 3-point rule. Use a haul line for your gear and have a hunting plan that you share with someone you trust. A busy food pantry in the Baraboo area is being forced to find a new space. Beyond Blessed Pantry Executive Director Shannon Howley tells us the lease isn't being renewed, despite more families asking for help.
So prior to the last 2 weeks, I would have told you we were averaging between 675 households to 700 households. And currently, the last couple weeks, we've been over 775 households.
The pantry has to relocate by January. Howley worries it will have to close during a typically busy holiday and winter season. There's a blood drive on Tuesday in Wisconsin Rapids and another the following Monday. The Community Blood Center will collect blood donations at the former East Junior High School on Tuesday, November 19th from 10 to 3 and Monday, November 25th from 2 to 7 p.m. You can schedule an appointment by calling 715-842-0761 or 800-280-4102. Appointments are appreciated, but walk-ins are also welcome. You can find out more information at communityblood.org. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers beat the Bears. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Yeah, the Packers beat the Bears for the 11th time in a row, setting a new franchise record. Green Bay's Carl Brooks blocking the Bears' attempt to kick a winning field goal. Final score, Packers 20, Bears 19. Matt LaFleur.
Just like you draw it up, right? First of all, got to give Chicago a ton of credit. We knew this is a National Football League. You got to come with your best every week.
College football, the Badgers fired Phil Longo, their offensive coordinator, after losing to Oregon 16-13. Luke Fickle.
Those guys in that locker room, obviously, they fought their butts off. They did everything we asked them to do. They played the way we wanted them to play and we expected them to play. We just right now haven't found a way to be able to finish.
NBA, the Bucks host the Rockets tonight. Doc Rivers fined $25,000 for criticizing the rest after losing to the Hornets Saturday night.
Go back 3 plays when Giannis dunks. The whole team fouled him. The whole team fouled him. And it's a no call.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, 2 different times, 1 fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy with rain tonight and breezy. Temps rise slowly through the 50s. Rain wraps up in the morning, cloudy and windy through the afternoon with temps remaining in the 50s. Cloudy and blustery Thursday with flurries and snow showers. Temps only rise to 40. currently 49 degrees.
97.5 FM WFHR would like to sincerely thank all of the sponsors who have helped keep Pet of the Week on air for all the animals at the Southwood County Humane Society. Thanks to this program, the shelter receives help, the community stays informed, and animals find their forever homes. If you would like to help and be a sponsor of the show, please call 715-496-0710. From everyone at WFHR, thank you for being a part of this great show, Thursdays at 9 a.m.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into like pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay me.
Let's redirect here because this could go bad.
I think it already has.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll invite our old friend and colleague Luke Mathers for Tuesday Tangents with Luke and a report on Wisconsin basketball. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome everybody to Midday Magazine for this Monday, November 18th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff here. In part one today, we're going to be speaking with the Wisconsin Area Community Choir. We have in with us Joni Wolf. Joni, thank you for being here.
Thank you, James.
Appreciate the time. Good to see you. And we have Pastor Caleb McGregor with us. Caleb, thank you for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Appreciate the time from both of you, not just with me and putting up with my questions and everything, but what you guys do for the community and the entertainment and value you bring to our community. We really do appreciate it and love being able to talk with you guys today. Great way to kick off our week here at Midday Magazine. Appreciate that. I want to get into, if you don't mind first, for those that don't know, the community choir's history, if we could. Who would like to... lead that one. Joni, you got that? All right, cool. What could you tell us about the history of the choir, Joni?
Okay, rehearsals began in the fall of 2004, and we were meeting at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. At the time, the conductors were Sid Cooper and Julianne Stoltz, and the accompanist was Sarah Reifelman, and the choir began with around 10 people. The first public concert was held on May 21st, 2006 at the First Congregational Church. And then as the choir outgrew the space at the Cultural Center, they moved the rehearsals to First Congregational Church, and they also moved funds to encourage Community Foundation. Changes in leadership over the years. Julianne left the group and was then Josh Ulrich became the co-conductor. Sarah Reifelman, when she was done, Mary Englert became the accompanist, and Mary is fantastic. In fall of 2023, they added three new co-directors. Our original director, Sid Cooper, was joined by Vicki Dresser, Jan Dykstra, and Seth Peterson. And then in this fall, as Seth has now moved away to the lovely state of Georgia.
Yeah, that's right.
Has been replaced with Jennifer Pulvermacher.
Okay. And the choir was not able to meet back in 2020, it looks like.
That is correct.
Yeah. Now, what happened with that? Something went on during that time. Just can't seem to remember. No, of course. We all remember what went on during that time.
A lot of things that didn't
happen. Yeah, Caleb. A couple of things happened.
2020 through 2022 during the pandemic. But besides that, the choir has been practicing and holding their concerts every fall and winter nonstop since they began.
You know, with like towns like ours and most rural communities over there, people come, people leave and such. So the changes with the choir are interesting. I think that the consistency of the work and the rehearsal times and so much of that, it really seems like that has stayed in place, Joni.
I agree. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm relatively new to the choir. I started, a year ago? And I've only been to a couple concerts so far, but I love it.
I can tell. Yeah, that's awesome. That's fantastic. And thank you. You kind of just led right into where I wanted to go next, Joni, how you both got involved with the choir. And kind of, I will let the audience know, I'm bringing this up, one, because I always find these things interesting. But also, you guys out there listening might be able to join the choir or be interested in joining the choir. So this might give you a little bit of incentive or an idea of how you can. So, Joni, you mentioned it was about a year ago you joined?
Right. A year to, not, I'm not quite sure.
Somewhere around there. Last 2 years or so, yeah. But recently, as you mentioned.
Right.
Are you one of the more recent members?
I am.
Okay, cool.
I was part of the choir at Lincoln High School.
Okay.
I was a music major when I went to college. And then I attend Christian Life Fellowship, and we had a very big choir at that when I was there. And we do Christmas musicals, Easter musicals. We did the dinner theaters, and I was a part of all of that. And then there was a change in leadership. Our pastoral staff changed, and that all went by the wayside. It was hard on me.
Yeah.
I missed that. It was a huge part of my life. And somebody told me I should give community choir a try, and it is fabulous, and I'm so glad that I'm there. We have so much fun.
It's really good to hear. That's fantastic. You know, there's so many people out there. You mentioned a couple of things there that I think a lot of people can relate to. You know, going to school for music or having a passion, a love for music. And we get older and kind of, well, we don't have a lot of avenues to kind of, for an outlet for that, to use those kind of things.
That's right.
This is a wonderful resource for that.
It is.
I think that's a great part of it. And Caleb, you of course, I want to get to know how you got involved in this as well. But one of the things that stands out to me when prepping for this interview and talking about it, learning a little more about the choir itself, got me down a rabbit hole of choirs in general and how much people love to be able to sing with their faith, that they love that combination of things, and how much not only that can like transition into just, you know, good feelings and good energy, but how much the two worlds are intertwined, faith and singing and such. And it's something I didn't really think too much about, honestly, until recently.
Right. And I think when we think back even centuries ago, I mean, the church was the major benefactor for music, and some of our great pieces that we know classically, even Bach, who had to write a new piece every single week for the upcoming service. I mean, that is a challenge I would not want to put on anybody. I tried to have a musician in my church do that once, but it didn't work out because I wouldn't do that either.
No.
But that's absolutely true. I mean, music you know, for somebody like myself who has an undergraduate degree in music, any chance to be able to use that in a community group is really great because for a while music was homework. Music was sort of a job, but to be able to do that and have fun with it with a group of people who are amateurs like yourself, which actually makes it fun. I mean,
yes.
And we do make not only a joyful noise, but just wonderful music when we get together.
Yeah. How did you get involved with this, Caleb?
Somebody asked me, because especially when you're male and you have a little bit of a musical talent,
yes,
you're
going
to get roped in,
yep,
to anything and everything. And I, and what's really great is when people ask not just once, because I think the first time I had to say no, or I thought about it, but there were enough people who pulled me along enough. They said, yeah, I should, you know, think about this. And that's how I got started. And you know, I've done this for a couple of years now, and I've started, and there were a few years that I could not finish. I started the rehearsals, but I could not make it to the concert time because things snowballed in my schedule. And so it is a gracious thing that if you don't know how your schedule is going to play out, just, you know, just begin. It's not it doesn't have to be that kind of, I don't want to say commitment, but
sure.
So they're very gracious. And what's also great is if anyone's kind of nervous about being a new person, this isn't a closed group because I was new, Joni was new, but then by the next year, there's enough new people that you're no longer new anymore.
Right. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And so it takes the pressure off of you after that first year. And there's always, in fact, there's more people this year, to the point, this is the largest that the group has ever bid, mm-hmm. to the point that we ran out of music folders, which is a blessing to have. So it's great to have that.
I love when adults are in situations like we were in school where you have to share a folder with somebody or something like that. I imagine that happened. That's fantastic. And it speaks to the popularity of this, the love of this group, and the want of the need for it in the community. So when we're talking about this, I love hearing your guys' stories. Thank you for sharing those. I'm hoping listeners out there hearing that and like, well, that could be me, or oh, I could do this. As far as that goes, and to kind of piggyback on your point there, Caleb, a little bit, the rehearsal time, the commitment to doing something like this, how often do you guys meet? How often do you get a chance to rehearse?
Would you like to go with that?
Wow. Yeah. Now, we don't rehearse every week. So our first rehearsal was in September?
I think for Christmas, we begin in September. For the spring, mm-hmm. We begin in March, I would
cool.
say.
Cool. Yeah.
There's like a couple months in there where we meet, and it's, like I said, not every week.
Yeah.
But there's enough that, you know, you are able to learn the music and mm-hmm. practice as a group. We do practice in sections as well. And also, I just want to make a point here. Mm. You don't have to audition to be in this choir.
That too. That's a great point.
That's another reason why I said yes.
Yeah, right on, right on. And it's a really good point, Johnny. That's very good.
They also give you recordings through your email that you can listen to the music. So if you go a couple weeks without a rehearsal, you could be practicing on your own.
That's really cool. That's very smart too.
And it is one of those one of those things that, in some ways, starting Christmas music in September. In fact, that's one of the downfalls that I told several people. I was very honest with it. I said, in September, I don't want to start Christmas music. But the reason we start in September is because I think they're very mindful of the holidays and the other things that happen on Tuesday. So we didn't have anything for Election Day. We're not going to have anything next week because of it being Thanksgiving week. And so that's kind of why they stretch it out. And so it is very gentle on our schedule. Yep.
And so for those looking into maybe doing this and everything, not a big time commitment, but yet a lot of fun and a great use of your time, especially you music lovers out there. This is a really fun one. Let's dive into the event. It's the most wonderful time of the year. The holiday concert coming up Saturday, December 7th at 4:00 at the First Congregational Church. These guys will be there along with others. There's going to be free admission. Free will donation is accepted, and reception will be following the concert. Let's talk about the concert itself for a moment and what people can expect. I see that there's going to be choir selections that are going to go along with this, Joni.
That's correct. We have several co-conductors will be doing different selections, directing that.
Yeah.
Sid Cooper, Vicki Dresser, Jan Dykstra, and Jennifer Pulvermacher. Mary Englert will be at the piano. Christian Stromley plays the organ. Hmm. Jennifer Pulvermacher will be playing French horn on one of the pieces, and Ginger Martin will be playing violin on one of the pieces. There's also an audience sing-along of Christmas carols.
Perfect. Oh, that's nice. They get the whole crew involved in that one.
Yes.
That's nice.
The choir selections that will begin with The Most Wonderful Time of the Year, which is a medley of traditional holiday songs, featuring several soloists from the choir.
I am always a sucker for those. Those always get me. It's a great way to open the whole thing. That's a nice idea.
We will also be singing The First Noel. It is set as a traditional English carol in a fresh arrangement with contemporary harmonies and a gently syncopated piano line by composer Pink Zebra.
Pink That's Zebra. A classic. That's great. It's a classic.
Oh, do you know Pink Zebra?
No.
Nope. Then we have The Little Babe from A Ceremony of Carols, which is 9 medieval carols from with Middle English texts by renowned British composer Benjamin Britten.
Hmm. I'm not familiar with that one. That sounds really interesting. Oh, that is going to be a nice addition to this. Cool.
One of the songs that I really like is All My Heart This Night Rejoices. It's a beautiful arrangement of the traditional German carol for choir and the French horn, featuring Jennifer Pulvermacher, is rich and warm in its harmonies and gentle rhythms.
And the classic I'll Be Home for Christmas, the smooth and velvety all the way. Mm-hmm. There is no lovelier or more touching Christmas ballad in the American songbook than this one, originally made famous by Bing Crosby.
Agree with every word in that. Yes, yes, 100%. And then I got another classic coming up, Joni.
Yeah, we're going to be singing the fun Baby It's Cold Outside, Kirby Shaw's jazz-flavored and fun arrangement of this golden oldie.
Oh, I love the jazzing it up a little bit more, too. That's fantastic.
Mm. And then we're going to the movies with Believe, a beautiful ballad from the movie The Polar Express, originally recorded and made famous by Josh Groban. This song has become a standard now in the holiday repertoire.
It really has. It's always interesting to me with, I'll Be Home for Christmas, White Christmas, so many classics that we've heard our whole lives. It's always interesting when these new ones pop up and we're able to kind of, you know, bring them into the fold and everything.
I think it's hard to break into the Christmas
music
genre.
It's got to be hard to get in there. That one certainly is one new one that made the list. That's a great one.
Brightest and Best is our next section. It's a lively arrangement of American hymn tune with piano and fiddle accompaniment featuring violinist Ginger Martin, who is the Lincoln High School orchestra teacher.
I am such a fan of Ginger's, and I am a big fan. My favorite instrument is the violin. I love anything with the violin. The fiddle right there next to it. So that one is probably going to be the one that I am all locked in on. That is a really a beautiful one, too. And we don't get I don't think we get enough fiddle or violin. You know, plenty of violin in Christmas. We don't get enough fiddle in Christmas music. That's good. I like that. That's a nice addition.
We will bring the classic Christmas Eve tradition with Peace, Peace. A warm and tender anthem that incorporates Silent Night and even asks the congregation to join in. The text is poignant in the troubled times in which we live and is so meaningful as we desire peace in our world.
And some of the songs that you can sing along with the choir is O Come All Ye Faithful with organ accompaniment, Angels We Have Heard on High, Joy to the World will also be with organ accompaniment, and Here We Come a Caroling.
Mm-hmm. Great idea to have those added along with this and everything. It's going to be a really fun part of this for the audience and for everybody involved in coming to it. When it comes to those songs, say they're not familiar with them. Will there be lyric sheets for them, or just be kind of, you know, just kind of be able to listen to the person next to you and sing along with them?
I believe that's in the programs that are handed
out. Very cool. And I want to thank you guys for not only bringing this to us and everything, but certainly all the work that went into this and the people that are, you know, arranged all of this up and got this set up. Certainly a big thank you to all the volunteers and everybody that has been helping out with this as well. We know we're nowhere as a community without our volunteers out there, so we really appreciate that. I did want to also mention, though, as long as I'm talking about volunteers, if people would like to still volunteer or be a part of this event, we want to encourage them to reach out, find out more. The Central Wisconsin Cultural Center has ways you can do that. There's other ways you can go into your Facebook page, I see, is another way to direct message you guys that way. Also encourage you to like that page. It's a great way to keep up to date on all the things that our Wisconsin Area Community Choir is up to.
I don't know if there's enough time to join the choir for this particular concert, but put on your calendar our spring concert, which will be held on Sunday, May 4th in 2025.
And Joni, you're getting so good at this and everything. That's where I wanted to go next. I wanted to make sure to mention that. We want to make sure that people are marking these on their calendars, making plans to attend these great events. Because not only is this a wonderful, fun event, but it's a great way to support the arts and support your community.
Yes, and I actually misspoken. When we start to rehearse for May, we'll actually be starting. The first rehearsal will be Tuesday, January 8th, and it's always Tuesdays, not every week, but a handful of Tuesdays. I think we practice about 6 or 7 times before the concert from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The rehearsals and the concerts are all at First Congregational Church, which is located at 311 2nd Street South in Wisconsin Rapids, and there is no auditions, and when you join us for our concerts, there's no admission fee either.
Mm-hmm.
And we certainly want to make sure that you guys are attending this event. Make plans to do so, everybody. It's going to be a lot of fun. Again, it's the most wonderful time of the year. The holiday concert coming up Saturday, December 7th at 4 o'clock at the First Congressional Church at 311 2nd Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. We want to thank not only you guys for joining us, but everybody that's a part of the choir. You got a lot of great people from our community a part of this, and we really do appreciate them. Did we cover everything, guys? Did we get everything in that you wanted to make sure we touched on today?
I just wanted to say something. I'm recently retired. And so I worked my whole life, and being retired leaves me with a lot of time. What am I going to do with my time? So being part of the choir helps me be active still and in the community and things like that. But we have teens in the choir as well.
Good.
So we have a wide range of ages. So I want to encourage everybody to give it a shot. Come and join us. See what it's all about. Come to the concert. We'd love to have you.
It's a great way to find out more is coming to the concert and get your feet in the water a little bit here and figure things out. I really appreciate that, Joni. Thank you for mentioning that. It's not only something that I want to do and always encourage people to be a part of the choir, but age doesn't matter. You know, I do tend to focus on our senior community and a lot of our retired community, but you're right. Younger people and everything, especially you've got kids that are looking to go into music and go into this as a field and everything. The more reps, the more things you have at this, the better it is. And you're entertaining your community, you're using your fun and your skill and your passion to be able to entertain your community at this time of year, especially. That feels good. It feels good to attend these events as well. So if people have follow-up questions, want to know more, should we just send them right to the Facebook page and have them find out more that way?
I think so, yeah. It's a very active page, so.
Okay, all right. So encourage you to do that, everybody. Go on to Facebook, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Area Community Choir, like that page, and direct message them with any questions you might have, and be sure to make plans for it's the most wonderful time of the year, the holiday concert coming up Saturday, December 7th at 4 o'clock at the First Congressional Church at 311 2nd Street right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Keep in mind, again, this is a free concert, though they will be accepting free donations. That would be greatly appreciated, and they'll have a reception following the show. You guys break a leg. Have a great show. Enjoy yourselves. I hope to be there and see you and hear you there.
Thank you.
Thank you both for the time. We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Hey there. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today I'm going to share a story about me and my money. This starts in my 20s when I was what I will call an avoider. I was an avoider because I just felt like I was bad at money. You know, I didn't want to think about money. I didn't want to do anything with money except make it and spend it and close my eyes and pray that the rent check would cash. I spent a few years beating myself up about not paying attention to my money until I started having a very short money meeting with myself every month. And those meetings taught me that with a little bit of effort, I could be on top of my money. I could know when it was coming and I could know where it was going, and eventually I was able to make plans for it. So if you're stuck in the avoider trap, hey, I know what it's like. Invite yourself to a money meeting. I promise you it'll pay off. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Average gas prices rose slightly last week with a 1.7-cent bump. The average across the state is $2.83 today. This is 14 cents lower than a month ago and over 19 cents lower than this time last year. According to officials at Gas Buddy, the slight rise is to be expected after the significant drop in prices for several weeks. Several states saw gas prices jump or cycle last week. They will likely see prices decline at the pumps this week. The national average could potentially fall below $3 per gallon just before Thanksgiving. Prices in central Wisconsin today range from $2.59 to $2.79 per gallon. Chief Justice says courts face judge and attorney shortages. Joanne Krulatz reports.
Wisconsin's court system faces a case backlog and attorney shortage. State Supreme Court Chief Justice Annette Ziegler raised both issues during her State of the Judiciary address this week. Ziegler said some counties have actually increased their backlog. The felony backlog currently stands at about 12,000 cases, which is a slight increase from where the courts were this time last year. Ziegler said a pool of reserve judges is helping address the backlog, but a shortage of attorneys contributes to that problem, particularly in rural counties. A 2021 state bar report found seven counties with no attorneys. Ziegler said access to justice is seriously compromised when members of the public who are exercising their constitutional right to be represented by counsel with an attorney cannot obtain one.
Many municipalities are starting to enforce parking bans even before the snow starts flying. Make sure you know the parking laws in your area so you don't wake up to a ticket. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There's been lots of talk in the news lately about celebrity biopics. Some that make you go, really? Mariah Carey, however, has a great bio with many elements that would make an interesting drama. She had a toxic marriage to a record producer, has the most popular modern Christmas song ever, is loaded with grit and resilience, and seems to value privacy unlike some other pop icons. Most importantly, when it comes to her career, she holds the record for the solo artist with the most number one hits on the Billboard Hot 100. That's right, folks. She's got more number one hits than Elvis. Director Lee Daniels hinted at the possible film on social media, which would be based on the 2020 book about Carey titled The Meaning of Mariah Carey. Staying in the world of biopics, Boyz II Men is also working on a film about their 30-year career. The influential R&B group with hits like It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday and End of the Road are four-time Grammy winners. There is no release date at this time. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy with rain tonight and breezy. Temps rise slowly through the 50s. Rain wraps up in the morning, cloudy and windy through the afternoon with temps remaining in the 50s. Cloudy and blustery Thursday with flurries and snow showers. Temps only rise to 40. Right now it's 48.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs. Whether it's music or anything else, I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday morning, Hans Breitenmoser talks about who might be Donald Trump's next agriculture secretary, or will Robert Kennedy Jr. be the boss of all farming and food?
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. And welcoming into the studio right now, we are going to be talking with Ken Olam and Chris Peters. Ken, introduce yourself so the audience can put a name to the voice there.
Hi, I'm Ken Olam. I live in Marshfield and volunteer as a shrine clown with the local funsters. We're a clown parade unit, so we get out and are emissaries for the Shriners.
Excellent. Thank you for that, Ken. Appreciate it. And Chris, if you can introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Chris Peters. I'm also a clown. My name is Sparky. I've been in the Shrine for 24 years now and trying to give back what was given to me.
Right on. Well said, sir. And now this is we're going to talk about this extraordinary holiday tradition that with the Zora Shriners Festival of Trees and more. If we could, fellas, before we get into that, can we talk about what the Zora Shriners are? Just a little bit of that. Let maybe those in the audience might not be familiar. Let them be a little more familiar with what this is. And Chris, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, Shriners around the world, I mean, started, 150 years ago. 100 years ago, they decided to start building hospitals and taking care of kids. So, you know, Zora Shriners happens to be one of three temples that are in the state of Wisconsin. In Milwaukee, they have Triple I. In Green Bay, they have Beja. And then we're out of Madison. It's you know, the whole organization was built on fun and fellowship. And then we started our philanthropy of the hospitals. We built ourselves up to 22 hospitals, one being up in Canada, one down in Mexico City, and the rest of them are all in the continental U.S. But our focus has changed now. Today's technology has gotten to a point where most surgeries nowadays are done as outpatient surgeries. The needs for the hospitals themselves are not as great as they used to be. And we have some of our patients traveling, you know, for a day or two sometimes just to get to one of our hospitals. So they have a project called 2035 that hopefully by then we're going to be down to five hospitals, but we're going to have 300 to 500 healthcare clinics. And reach out into the areas to where we can reach out to more kids, take care of them.
You know, we have a lot of great organizations, a lot of great nonprofits out there, and we need a lot of them. Because while there are certain big topics out there that a lot of us think of, oh, we need something for this, oh, we need something for that. For every big topic, there are some gray areas that just don't get covered, that we don't have a chance to really talk about very much. I think Zora Shriners, the Shriners organization, has made a history of focusing on a lot of those areas, a lot of the things that we don't get a chance to really put our attention to, as always, that they have put their attention to. And the idea of adjusting and kind of working and evolving your business model, if you will, for a nonprofit. That's something that I'm so impressed by with our nonprofits. I have every week I'm talking to either United Way or Encourage or different organizations, and each one of them adapt to the modern two times, and just so that they can do the good work that they're doing. I really admire that. It wasn't always the case when I was a kid, and it's really impressive to see the where things go nowadays and adapting to that, to what a community needs. The Shriners have been doing this for a very long time and adapted to those things. I think that's really unique and cool. And it shows, too, as well, that how you listen to your people, you listen to the communities, you listen to individuals, and well, where are we needed? Where can we do our best work? And doing something like that, I don't think a lot of our audience probably heard about that. I think I really appreciate that. That's very interesting, Chris, as far as what they're doing and how they're evolving. That's interesting. And part of that evolution is, I imagine, coming up with events like this. We're in our second year of this one. And while it's only the second one, it already feels bigger and more impactful than it was last year, which is saying something, because last year's was really big. So let's talk about the event itself, the Shriners Festival of Trees. What is this event? When is it taking place?
The event itself will start Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, run for 10 days. And it is sponsors and donors have donated a Christmas tree, fully decorated, with gifts underneath, value of approximately $500 or so. And then we hold a raffle under our license to raise money. The event itself is absolutely free. We are reaching out to the community because the Masonic Center, where it's located, is collecting the canned goods, non-perishables, for the food pantries. And last year, they collected 800 pounds worth.
Wow. That's incredible.
That's the generosity of the people coming. So we aren't asking you to pay for anything. It's a great event. It's indoors, so it's climate controlled. You can come down, have fun, look around. We have a guest from the North Pole that's there at least a good share of the time. Hmm. And he likes to have children and adults come and discuss their questions and maybe sneak in a hint or two to help him with his work.
That's it. He's a smart guy. He's all year prepping and planning for this stuff. He knows what he's doing. He's really got this down to a science, Santa. Also, nicely done by you guys. Pam and I have been trying to get Santa on the Midday Magazine show here for years, and it just never happens. He's got more important things like this to do. It's understandable. This is also the part of the fun of this event, too, is there's themes with each of these trees. Is that how it works?
Oh, yeah. Each business or individual sponsors it with a different theme. We have some that last year, the tree that I sponsored was done in a Dr. Seuss mode with all kinds of gifts for children underneath. We have some promoting the animal shelter, some of the businesses. Their goods, their services, they're one of the ways they're very generous to the community because they appreciate the people that keep them in business.
Mm-hmm. You know, the theme of the tree is what makes up all the presents underneath it. So all those presents have to do with the theme of the tree.
Which is great. It's a great tie-in. Thank you for that, mentioning that. And with those trees and those themes, the people can bid on these. People can possibly, or not bid on, I'm sorry, can possibly add to them.
Well, what they do is we sell raffle tickets.
Yes.
And we have buckets in front of every tree. Not only do we have trees, we have wreaths, you know, good old Christmas wreaths. And we also, in the and more this year, you know, we bought so many decorations and stuff to make it look festive, but these were things that we use year after year, but the people were very interested in and wanted to bid on those too, or not bid on them, but put a raffle ticket in for them, but we weren't raffling those off. So this year here, we found a lower entry level for sponsors where they can purchase these decorations. And we're raffling those off.
Very cool.
So that's the and more this year.
Right. The community loves raffles. If you're having an event, you have to have a raffle attached to it. I don't care what the event is. We love these, but I make that joke a lot because not only do we love these raffles, but we love what they're about. Where they are. It's a fun way of putting back into an event, putting into a cause, while also maybe getting some fun stuff from it as well. Then the raffle itself will be drawn as well on at the end of this event on Sunday?
Sunday afternoon, the 8th of December, 4 o'clock.
There's a beautiful backdrop for this, too. That where you can taking this in indoors and everything. That's nice. That is a fun way of being able to take this into. Now, one of the things that I think that stands out with this event, too, and like a lot of our local events, they're all the things that the guys have mentioned here are all noteworthy and important. The idea of having an event that brings so many individuals from different walks of life together. Young, old, man, woman, it doesn't matter. And I will mention, too, coming out of the week that we have, it doesn't matter any political affiliations or anything like that. Like, none of that matters. All that matters is we come together as a community and unify, that we come together as individuals. There's certain topics that I'd like to think are pretty safe. You know, helping kids, helping our individuals. These are things that I don't feel like I'm going out on a limb saying these are good causes. These are important things. These are things that we can all get behind. It doesn't matter. And right now, more than ever, we need to come together. We need to unify and realize how we have more in common than not. That's all important, I believe. Another key part of this, too, and I will admit that this is one of my causes, personal causes, is hunger and individuals not being hungry in our communities. I love that this event has that a part of it. I also love the idea of Mom and Dad taking their kids to this event. They bring that non-perishable food item. And while the kids are all focused on the trees and the wreaths and all the excitement of this, they see Mom and Dad dropping that item off.
And so that individual, that child, grows up seeing their parents doing these things. And maybe they grow up, and more than likely they grow up, and they become those individuals to put back into their community. There is always these little opportunities for us as adults to teach kids, to show kids, hey, we're having fun. This is a great community event. We're going to see some people we haven't seen in a while and catch up and everything, while at the same time putting into our community and adding to the people that need it in our community. It's a wonderful opportunity for that as well. Along with having a great time. Let's get into this, because all week long people are going to be able to take in this event over at the Masonic Center. Is that correct?
Yes. We'll be open Saturday straight through. The hours are different during the day. It varies. We have some special events where groups can come in. So it's also an opportunity for the homeschooled. They can come in during the afternoon when it's not quite so busy. It's an in to go out for lunch, and after lunch, you know, we can get to this event before it gets dark and we can be home.
Yeah, that's nice. That sounds really nice.
One thing we learned last year too was that we needed to open up during the week a little earlier for the senior citizens, the senior centers. They like bringing the busload of people that love to come in. And they definitely want to do it in the daytime. Yeah. So this year we are starting opening the doors at 1 o'clock during the week, and
smart.
And to allow that. And you know, we had one lady last year that came in, well, that I know of anyways, 4 times, bringing different people with her each time. And of course,
that's
she had
great.
To point out all the trees.
Sure.
She put her raffle
yes,
which was kind of neat too. Yeah. And yeah, the people that came in, you know, they says, you know, I've been driving past this place for the last 20 years, always wondered what it looked like inside, and now they get a chance to see that too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really bringing the community together. It was amazing last year, the first year we did it, the response that we got, and yeah, it was just great.
Another thing that I've noted, I've been doing this job for a while now, one of the things that I've noted from the community as well as the people that come in and I get the chance to talk to, these events, when they're first starting out, people love to be able to say, I was at the first, or I was at the second, or they'd like to be at the history of these events and be a part of each one of them and everything. So here's an event that you can get in on early. Now, this is only your second year of this. And one of the things that they love to see the evolution of these events and how they grow and everything. It's going to be wonderful to see, especially with this one in particular. I just want to get into some of the details real quick of the times and hours. Again, this kicks off November 29th, goes till December 8th. On the 29th, Black Friday, we'll go from 10 to 7. That Saturday, it'll go from 10 to 7, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. at night. Then December 1st, 11 to 6. December 2nd through the 6th, Monday through Friday, we'll go from 1 to 7. December 7th from 10 to 7. And on the 8th, things will wrap up 11 a.m. to 4, with the drawing being at 4. Keep that in mind, everybody that ends up getting raffle tickets. Now, if an individual wants to get a raffle ticket, how can they do that, guys? How can they get a raffle ticket?
They will be on sale there. We'll have someone sitting at the desk in the front, just to the left of our main guest, Santa Claus, and they can purchase them there, get a little explanation, just take a tour of the trees, either before or after. There again, and this is all voluntary. This isn't, it's just an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And the event itself is so much fun to see the creativity of all the businesses and sponsors that come in.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that. We have such a creative community. It's so cool to be able to see them just go to work and to have fun with these things, the creative side of this, yeah.
The one thing is, too, is that the desk that sells the raffle tickets is set on the far side of the room so that you get to come through and actually take a look at things
and
decide whether or not you even find anything that you want to buy a raffle ticket for. It's not like you're coming in the door and the first thing we do is hit you with the
smart
raffle ticket. So at last year we found people that, you know, they're like, really don't need another tree.
Yeah, sure.
And they gave straight donations,
which
are always acceptable too,
mm-hmm.
and that was very nice. So,
Because as you noted early on in the conversation, Chris, the work that the Zora Funsters that they are able to do for our communities, people want to be a part of that. Even if it isn't getting a reef or a tree or something like that, it really does make an impact. And I think seeing these this in action is one of the things that really brings it out of people. This time of year, certainly, and everything. But honestly, I think you could have this event any time of year, and it's going to bring it out of this community. I know you two know this as well as many of our listeners out there. There are a few communities like the one we have here that give and give and give, and then they find ways to give more. We appreciate them so very much when it comes to these events and all the future events we have coming up. And when it comes to this event, encourage you to make plans. We do want to say a big, gigantic thank you to these sponsors, to every individual that is making this happen. So many people working behind the scenes to bring on this event. And certainly want to thank those at the Masonic Center for
Masonic Center.
Thank you, Masonic Center, for being able to... letting us have this event there, too. That is very cool of them. And I did want to mention as well, volunteering. If individuals want to volunteer or be a part of this, or maybe if not just this event, anything you guys are doing in the future, we can send them to the website. Is that probably the best way to do it? Or is there another, maybe I got a phone number here I can also give them of Steve that might be a good individual to reach out to. So the website is zorshriners.com, zorshriners.com. And for sponsor information, or if you are looking to volunteer, contact Steve Livernash. Steve's number is 715-325-5000. That is 325-5000. And again, the website to find out not only about this event, but to find out more about what our Zora Shriners do in our communities. And I think the history as well is very interesting. Looking into some of that as well, encourage you to go to ZoraShriners.com, ZoraShriners.com. And keep in mind, everybody, while this event is free, again, we are looking for you to bring a non-perishable food item.
That would be wonderful. As you say, the generosity is covering a need in the community that I don't think we'll succeed in filling. Mm. It's unfortunate that there is the need, but it's something that's going to be there as young people start out, as people run into serious problems in their lives where this is the first time that I need it, and I'm so glad it's there.
Yeah. Oh, well said. Yeah. Was there anything else that you guys wanted to touch on before we let you go?
Well, you know, the one thing is last year, our first year, mm-hmm. we started out with 12 trees. And we had, what, 25 reefs?
Yes.
And we were overwhelmed with the response. And because of that, this year at last count, we have 18 trees.
Wow.
We have the 25 reefs again, mm-hmm. and then the and more. So, you know, I mean, it's... Yeah, you've got a lot more choices this year, we'll be there with smiling faces and appreciate everything you, you know, and if all you want to do is come in and look and talk to Santa, you're more than welcome to do that as well.
We appreciate that and appreciate you guys, what you've done for our community, what you and your team do. Say hi to everybody for us. It's a part of this event and working on this. We'll make sure to be talking about it on our morning shows and making sure that we get a good crowd throughout the whole week for this event and get some of those raffle tickets sold. Thank you, guys.
Oh, thank you so much for having us. The Blue Lodge Shriners or the Blue Lodge Masons that are supporting this, they get their work out in the community through a whole different set of programs with the fire suppression tools, the defibrillators, the things like that that they sponsor, the community events, the bike rodeo in the spring. There again, it's kids emphasized, safety emphasized, community emphasized.
Mm-hmm. Really good things and really good work and a really good conversation. Thank you guys. Appreciate the time.
Thank you very much.
Again, you can find out more about this event and plenty more at ZoraShriners.com, ZoraShriners.com. We'll be talking about this event and it coming up and making sure that you have plans and make it on your, bookmark it on your calendar. And we'll have plenty more Midday Magazine coming up for you. Tomorrow, we will have Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce in with us in part one, and in part two, Realty Radio with David Farnborough. Wednesday, the gang from Family Natural Foods, Stephen and Katrina, will be with us, along with some friends of ours from Encourage. Thursday, we've got Extension's Anna Mitchell joining us, and we wrap up the week with Senator Patrick Teston in part one, and in part two, we will talk with Breakfast with Santa. We'll have Pete in to talk a little bit about that and talk about Breakfast with Santa. So we've got a fun week lined up for us. I want to thank our scheduler, Pam Hilke, for the nice work that she does week in and week out, and thank all of you for listening. You can find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Spread the show, spread the word here at Midday Magazine. More coming up on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Maggie Dawn.
Does it seem like the world operates like there's two different sets of rules? Rules for some people and then rules for everybody else? We discuss next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point. And they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is locally grown radio, WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, you and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend. And my last name is Schwabba and I'm an actual Schwabba. So there you go.
No, what is a Schwabba? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
If you haven't tried mindfulness techniques before, the idea is to take a minute, focus on the present, not the past, not the future. Be here now. You can do it in your car.
Please, not while you're driving.
I was going to say, preferably not driving. Just take a moment and close your eyes. And just breathe. Focus like on the breath coming into your body and out.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point. And they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is your local...